Hallowed now as he brings us today's sermon.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see lots of us tuning in. Very weird being in here. Very, very echoey. That's a very big thing to notice this morning. I imagine we're feeling odd, aren't we? We're feeling odd that we can't just be together. We're feeling sad. I'm certainly feeling sad. It's very, very strange. But at the same time, there are certain things that we keep doing that are totally normal. We celebrate Mother's Day. We celebrate it in a slightly different way, as usual. I know my mum is watching, so happy Mother's Day, Mum. There you go. Let's tick that box. The other thing we're going to carry on doing is carrying on preaching and hearing from God's word. We're carrying on in Luke's gospel. Some of us might be thinking, why are we carrying on with a sermon series as if nothing has happened? Well, clearly certain things have happened, but like I said, if you were listening last week, all of God's word is always relevant all the time. The volume may be slightly turned up on certain passages for us at the moment, but everything in God's word is good and we need to hear it. In particular, some of the things we hear from God's word this morning are quite prophetic, aren't they? We're carrying on in our sermon series in Luke's gospel. Those of you who've not been listening to where we've been going so far, we've been examining why we can be certain of who Jesus is. Luke writes his gospel to his friend Theophilus so that Theophilus may be certain of what he believes about Jesus. So that is how we have been reading Luke's gospel. And we know we can be certain of who Jesus is. And that is something we need to cling on to at this time, isn't it? Jesus is Lord. He is still Lord. He heals the sick. He banishes demons. He forgives sins. He calls sinners. He includes the excluded. He calls the shots. He decides what is right and what is wrong. Throughout Luke, we've seen a group of people who are constantly against Jesus. They are the Pharisees, the religious leaders who define themselves as righteous. They are self-satisfied. And so they reject the righteous one. They are the opposite of those who follow Jesus. Those who follow Jesus are not satisfied with themselves. They know they need an external goodness outside of themselves to make them right with God. And that is what Jesus brings for his people. He is a doctor. The sick are to come to him, not try and fix themselves or define themselves as well when they are very sick. Pertinent, isn't it? With an seemingly invisible disease making its way around our nation. Jesus has a message for both of these groups this morning. Those of you who are familiar with the Bible and have heard the reading, it sounds like the Sermon on the Mount, doesn't it? It's very similar to the Sermon on the Mount. But did you notice the setting, verse 17 of our passage? He came down with them and stood on a level place. Jesus isn't on a mountain here. He is on flat ground. He's made his way out of the Peak District and hit Norwich. Not literally, obviously, but you know what I mean. Is this meaning that the Bible is inaccurate in how it presents things? No. Jesus obviously said the same sermon twice. Good news for preachers. We can reuse our stuff if it is helpful. Two people, two groups in mind this morning for Jesus. The first group he addresses in verses 17 to 23. He is addressing his followers, those who are not satisfied in themselves. To them he says, life is hard now, but everything sad will come untrue. Life is hard now, but everything sad will come untrue. As the crowds gather, the sick are cured, and the people hear the message of Jesus Christ. Some of those people will have come to Jesus feeling weighed down, burdened by their troubles, suffering, worried, anxious. Sound familiar? A lot of us will be tuning in with our anxieties. And even if this virus stuff wasn't going on and we could physically gather together, we'd still be coming with our own baggage, wouldn't we? All of us have it. I certainly do. Jesus has encouragement for his followers this morning. And his followers need encouraging. Because in the world's eyes, his followers are not successful. They are not successful in the way the world works. Have a look down with me from verse 20. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. Poverty, hunger, sadness, and hatred do not mark a successful CV, do they? They are not attributes we share when going through our skill set. And they're also not the defining features of your average church family either, especially in a place like Poynton. Not visibly, anyway. But Jesus says, hard life now does not mean failure. In some ways, it means success. Do you remember what we saw back in chapter 5? Jesus has come not to call the righteous, but sinners. People like Levi. People like me. People who are steeped in their sin, caught red-handed, and yet loved and chosen despite ourselves, not because of ourselves. Jesus is the one who decides who's in and who's out because he's fully God and fully man. Christians will suffer. That is the pattern of the believer. We should not be surprised when we suffer for our faith. Indeed, one of the interesting things that I'm reflecting on is that in the UK, we cannot gather as a church, but we can still be church. We can obviously promote that we are live streaming on social media. We can do this in safety. Other Christians have never had that privilege. Not only have they never been able to meet, they could never put on Facebook where they were and what they were preaching on because they would be hunted down and arrested. Perhaps even executed. The world hates Christians. But obviously, we're in a strange time, aren't we? There is so much uncertainty. What we rely on has been exposed. But look at Jesus' words in this passage. What is he saying? The poor will inherit the kingdom of God. The hungry will be satisfied. The weeping will laugh. The hated are blessed. All of them are blessed. Perhaps that is hard to believe. Maybe laughter is something that we remember but have not experienced this week. But Jesus, Lord of all, calls the sad blessed and promises everything sad is going to come untrue. One of my favourite passages from the Lord of the Rings novels comes near the end of the book. And, spoiler alert, the ring gets destroyed. Those of you who are planning a marathon and never seen it before, sorry. The enemy has been defeated. And Samwise Gamgee, my favourite character, asks a question. He asks Gandalf the wizard, is everything sad going to come untrue? Here's the answer. A great shadow has departed, said Gandalf. And then he laughed. And the sound was like music, or like water in a parched land. And as he listened, the thought came to Sam that he had not heard laughter, the pure sound of merriment, for days upon days without count. We might not feel like laughing, but everything sad will come untrue for the Christian. Jesus gives us hope. Hope during times of trouble. Hope that outweighs our trouble. So come to Christ again this morning for his blessing and encouragement that no virus can take away who you are and who loves you. That is astounding. For his listeners, Jesus encourages them to rejoice in their hardships because that is how God's faithful people were treated. The world doesn't like Christians because the world doesn't like Jesus. The world doesn't like Jesus because Jesus was brave enough to tell people that they're not good enough for God. Not on their own. That's why the Pharisees don't like him. He is puncturing their self-satisfaction. For believers, life is going to be hard. It's going to be unimpressive. But everything sad will come untrue. But what about the other group? The more successful group. Well, Jesus has something to say to them too. To the self-satisfied, Jesus says, life is good now, but you will not live happily ever after. Life is good now, but you will never live happily ever after. Of course, Jesus is not speaking into a nation in a pandemic. Life doesn't seem good for anyone right now. But it's worth reminding ourselves how much better off we are compared to some. We have places to self-isolate. We have funds to buy food. £1 billion worth of food has been purchased in the UK in the last 3 weeks. We have enough internet bandwidth to live stream our sermons, to catch up with every single episode of Friends, and we can phone each other. Not everybody has one, two, three, or any of those blessings. But even in normal circumstances, outside of the pandemic, there are people very well off, aren't there? Jesus isn't saying you can't be rich and be a Christian. Never says that. What he is targeting is the self-righteous, the self-satisfied. Verse 24 of our passage. Woe to you who are rich, for you've received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what the ancestors did to the false prophets. Woe to the self-satisfied, says Jesus. Woe to the self-proclaimed righteous. Woe to those who do not think they need a doctor. Woe to those who think they are okay without God. It's extremely unwise, I think, to try and read into this virus precise things God is doing. But there are some general principles we can see as well from this passage. To be a self-satisfied Pharisee, the way it looks today is to be the kind of person who thinks you can ignore what the government is saying. Those who think you can carry on as normal, that you can see people as normal, because you know best. You see? That's the difference. One group of people, the first group, God knows best. The second group, I know best. So perhaps one thing that is being taught to us by our situation is helping those of us who are in the self-satisfied category to see ourselves as needy. Perhaps this will be a humbling experience for us all. Jesus is very clear, as we've seen consistently in Luke, the needy, the excluded, and the sick are blessed and called out and given sheer grace, whereas the self-satisfied will have their bubbles burst. Those of us who think we're okay without God, I'm sure we are very well aware of how much we need him. For those of us who are carrying on as if nothing has happened, who seek to put their own needs above others, are dangerous. That is what the Pharisees did. That is what we do inherently. We know best. Not God. But God is the one who humbles us and brings us low to then raise us up. That is the pattern of the Christian. That is the pattern of this Sermon on the Plain. I doubt many of us are feeling self-satisfied this morning. If you are, I would recommend rereading this passage and asking for God's help. I imagine many of us feel needy. We feel lost. The words of Jesus to us this morning, in his providence, knowing this is the passage we were going to hear about this morning, his words are blessed. Blessed are you who have woken up this morning having not slept, who went to bed in tears, who are terrified. Jesus says everything sad will come untrue. Because that is what God promises his people. Hard life now, eternal life of everlasting joy, no tears, no scars. That is to come. Because that is what God has promised his people. And God can't break a promise. He just can't. It's completely against his nature. No virus can harm the Christian's eternal hope in God. We weep now, that is normal. One day, we will laugh. The great shadow of sin has departed us in Christ. The shadows of darkness and pain will one day disappear. There are plenty of ways we want to resource you as a church in these times. Do keep up with these online streams. We will be carrying on with our Lent course tomorrow at 8 p.m. on video. And if you want to hear it, if you want to watch me every day, not something I'd normally recommend, but I'm doing a little thing called Daily Dose of Joy. It's on Facebook, you can find it, where we're looking at 1 Peter and we're finding ways to keep our hope healthy during this time. Let me pray for us. Our loving Heavenly Father, we know that you are good. We forget that you are good. But we know it's not about what we know, but what you have done for us. Forgive our self-satisfaction. Forgive us when we unintentionally risk others for the sake of our own desires. Help us to see our neediness in Christ, to come to Dr. Jesus, who will see us now and always. Help us to see our need for you, and keep us going, knowing that one day everything sad will come untrue. Amen.